And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is TTN at the Movies for the week of November 12th, 2017. TTN at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new Trending Topics Network, where you can check out some other great shows such as CFL Easy Picks, STFU, and Hanging with Heavy. If you want to email into the show, you can email at oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. The website is upcoming, and that should be Tango Tango November Alpha Tango Mike.com. And so let's get on into the review for this week.
All right, welcome back to TTN at the Movies. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and joining me as always is the Flower Power child herself, Daisy. Daisy, how you doing?
Awesome! Yeah, it's a great day today. Wonderful weather out.
All right. Hey, so we're back. We have done in the past. We are going to do a review of a recent Blu-ray DVD release. But first, I would like to talk about email that came in to TTN at the Movies, submitted to by my co-host at What's on Fight. And that is Finn Fish. He emailed us in and asking about some of the favorite parody movies that you've seen. So that you've seen, you know, just in your movie browsing history. So Daisy, some of your favorite like parody movies out there?
Parody. Not really sure what you mean by parody.
Oh, like Hot Shots Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah, those. The sequel ones, okay. Yeah.
Well, ones that are kind of like slapstick, satire, Airplane.
Yeah, so know. Definitely like Airplane.
Surely you've got to be kidding.
Surely you've got to be kidding me. I think that one is like the best one. Growing up, like, it was always a tradition because, like, my dad's into movies like crazy. If you saw today, like, his whole movie collection is in there, and it's the slapstick comedy. What other one? There's Porky's, I think, was, like, a really funny one. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
That one was, like, really good. Kind of got some really twisted jokes in it, but it's still good.
Yeah, well, I think definitely that is a product of its time.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, so that one and the, Airplane. I think Airplane was really funny because, like, I love the woman actress in that where she's always, like, flirting with the guy who's like, I used to be a pilot, and he has to pilot the plane, and he's all sweating and everything else, and yeah, that one's a really good one, honestly.
Yeah, you're talking about Julie Haggerty, who played Elaine Dickinson in there, and then Robert Hayes, who's the main character, Stryker.
Stryker.
Where did I know that name from? Stryker.
Yeah. And then it was like, then Shirley, the captain. And it keeps running into you. Those are... Elaine is just like, oh, were you a pilot? I mean, I know it's probably like a really bad impression of her, but... oh, damsel in distress, you know? So, yeah, I mean, those are really good, fun ones. Shoot, what did I just watch the other day? Well, I kind of like the Lego Batman movie. Like, if that's like a parody, if you've watched it, like, he's got so many jokes in it where he's like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Batman. That one is just hilarious. And the regular Lego movie where he's like, good morning, apartment. Like, I love those. Those are the fun ones.
Yeah, the things that just kind of like, they're just so silly that they're funny.
And you're just like, wait, what? So, yeah. I mean, and my all-time favorite is like all the Minions movies. Because like the Minions itself.
Yeah, but those aren't necessarily parodies.
Yeah.
They're just comedies.
There's comedies, but yeah, those are, I would say Airplane has got to be on the top list.
Yeah.
Can't think of any other one. Oh, Daddy's Home is actually, that new one, the Daddy's Home, the second one.
Yeah.
Is going to be good.
But once again, that's just a comedy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, the parodies, like I said, are along the Airplane and the Hot Shots, Naked Gun. You know, the ones that, you know, just have those really weird in-jokes and things of that nature.
Yeah, like, well, we watched the, it's got Jack Nicholson in it. Let me find it. It's this one that, it's a weird joke on it because it's got Jack Nicholson where he's a really young, he's a sailor. So they're walking and they're taking this kid to the brig. We were watching it. My dad owns it, so.
And it's a parody type movie?
He has some really, he's got some slapstick, but it's more, this one's more of a military joke and kind of like, because it's set when he's really young, like you want to know. I mean, it's kind of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but it was way before he did that one. So, you gotta watch it. It's, The Last Detail. So, you watch The Last Detail. That one is, it's a comedy drama, but it's got Randy Quaid in it. Randy Quaid is so, because Dennis Quaid's dad, if you remember Dennis Quaid, so it says when the sailor Larry Meadows, Randy Quaid is sentenced to 8 years in a New Hampshire prison, Navy lifer's buddy Budeski, Jack Nicholson, Mule Mulhall, Otis Young, are assigned to escort him there from Virginia. Along the way, they warm up to their prisoner, indulging him in such ways and making excursions to a brothel and to his mother's house, and they get closer to the destination. Their fondness of Larry makes it harder to execute their orders. So, like, there's different jokes along the way that are more military slapstick than it is, like, regular, you know, like, comedy that we're used to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that one just makes me laugh. And then there's the one where Paint Your Wagon is, okay, like, super funny.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
I have not.
Paint Your Wagon, yeah. It's like a, I like the older movies. Because Paint Your Wagon, it's a long movie, but it's 1969. And it's another comedy one, but it's got Lee Martin and Clint Eastwood. Like, right. You wouldn't think that Clint Eastwood would actually be funny in it. It's just like, it's kind of like how, it's a musical, and then it says that Ben Ramps and Lee Marvin happens to upon a wrecked wagon containing a dead man and a surviving brother, which is Clint Eastwood, in the wilds of California during the Gold Rush. During the Gold Rush, they're running through these towns, and every time you turn around, this guy, Lee Marvin, he's like, oh, watch out when I get drunk, and he keeps, like, getting drunk, and Clint Eastwood has to come and help him, and he gets into all this trouble all the time. But it's like a musical comedy parody type thing. It's really weird jokes that come out at different times that you wouldn't think would happen. So, and then they run into this this Mormon woman, this family that they're married, and then the guy, like, sells his wife off in a bidding war among all the guys in the Gold Rush community. So, it's a long movie, but it's funny. It's like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Okay. Funny. So, yeah, which that's another one. Those are funny.
There you go.
Yeah. So, like, Monty Python, I think when I first watched Monty Python, I didn't realize, like, did you know that they didn't have any budget to get actual horses for the movie itself? So that's why you have the guy, like, pretending that he's like, going through the hills and just banging coconuts together. So he's making that clink, 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 clink sound. So it's like, but Monty Python and the Holy Grail has got to be up there with Airplane and Paint Your Wagon and the Last Detail.
Right.
So, yeah. I like the older ones. Yeah. But not so much the newer ones. I'm like,
Yeah. Like, well, you know, I think it's another thing. It's about a product of its times. So I don't think we see very many of those nowadays. I think, you know, we had a lot in the 90s with, you know, Hot Shots and Naked Gun. So, you know, and, you know, the early 80s with Airplanes. So those would be mine. Mine were probably the typical ones you would think about. So definitely Airplane, because I think that may have been the first one I kind of saw. And at the time, I did like the Naked Gun, but now it's kind of like, yeah. But Airplane and, you know, Airplane 2, I can definitely watch over and over again. And Hot Shots Part 2, I can watch over and over again as well.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, like, I think, like, Dodgeball is up there, too.
Yeah.
So, do you think about Dodgeball? Like, that's hilariously funny. Or, like, we saw that one guy with Will Ferrell, and he's dressed up in the basketball outfit. What is that? The Thunder. What is it? They're like in the sun. Thunder Crush or something like that. With Will Ferrell, and he's on the basketball team, and he's always like drinking beer and stuff.
Oh well, I think that's the name of the team that he's from, but the name of the movie was. What was it called? As we're sitting here trying to actually look it up, I've never actually never seen the movie.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
Semi-Pro.
Yeah, Semi-Pro.
It's Jackie Moon.
Yeah, so Semi-Pro, and I think the parody one that I would say with Will Ferrell is Anchorman.
Anchorman, yeah.
Because Anchorman is like the legend of Ron. Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
He is just like classic ego guy. And then when is that the same movie where the guy like falls into the bear area and at the zoo and stuff? Or I think that's on the second one, Anchorman 2, where the guy actually gets in there. And then Blaze of Glory.
Yeah.
Blaze of Glory is more fun.
Yeah.
But, like, my top one with Will Ferrell would gotta be Zoolander, because he's, like, incredibly good-looking. and I made a joke to a coworker the other day, because we were sitting there looking at stuff, and I was like, okay, is it just me, or I work with people who can't read good? They need a school for people who can't read good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Zoolander had it right. We need a school for people who can't read good. As I, and those are most of my coworkers that I've noticed lately. So yeah. Yeah, those are the two that I can think of.
All right, well, what do we say, transitioning to our review of what we just watched? And that is the 2017 release of Cars 3.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen, of course, Cars and Cars 2?
I've seen all of the movies. I am a huge fan of Lightning McQueen. Oh, and Tow Mater.
Yeah.
These guys, I was so excited when they finally came out with Cars 3. Because we had heard rumors, like, I heard rumors through the Disney Channel and, you know, everything else, they were coming out with Cars 3, but it seemed to have been, like, delayed because they had some other movies that they needed to get out. Not really sure why it happened, but I think, you know, this one and this one actually, like, brought it full circle with Doc Hudson and having Mater there and the whole town and all the support. And then, you know, so overall, I think the graphics itself and the sound is just like as if you're going to an actual NASCAR race or F1 race.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm impressed with the with how they did it. And I'm glad that it took them for so long to get Cars 3 out.
Right. Yeah, so just to update the listeners, if you guys are need a little bit of update. So Cars came out in 2006. Cars 2 was 2011. And Cars 3, of course, this year in 2017. So we had a 5-year gap and then a 6-year gap, which I guess, in my opinion, could be just about right with being an animated film. Because you have to, of course, you know, get the voice actors in to record their lines and then do the animation. And if something isn't quite right, you know, have to quote-unquote reshoot things or scenes or re-record things, you know, so it could be a combination of things. But yes, yeah, so yeah, spoiler alert, if the listeners have not seen Cars 3... basically, the story is of Lightning McQueen is basically, getting up in age, and as, you know, cause, you know, as Pixar does, personifies, a whole bunch of their characters, so everything, the old joke is, I think you may have seen the internet meme about Pixar movies, like, Cars have feelings, toys have feeling, you know, Toy Story and such and such, and then, what's the movie? Oh, Inside Out. Feelings have feelings.
Yeah.
So, so it's kind of funny how a lot of Pixar movies are this, and that internet meme was so dead on, about it. So, yeah, so, you know, he's blindsided, new generation of racers, and he needs to get his ka-chow back on, basically. So yeah, I enjoyed it. They did do great. The story was fantastic because, like you had just said, they did a lot of reference back to Doc Hudson, and basically McQueen became, so spoiler alert, became Doc Hudson in his own way, because he basically is a role model for somebody that he's bringing up into the races, basically, but unknowingly until it actually happens. So he can actually see himself, Lightning McQueen, that is, that, you know, this is the case. He is getting up in age, and he's not able to compete as well. He has to compete smarter, as they said. Not necessarily faster, but smarter. And, you know, one of the things that seems to happen a lot is Lightning McQueen always seems to have some kind of misunderstanding with his friends, or in this case his trainer, or this person or that person, or this car or that car in this particular case. So I enjoyed it with that aspect. Like I said, the story, the misunderstanding, seems like it happens in every single movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if I like that or dislike that, but yeah, so it'd be pretty interesting to see where they may, if they decide to do a Cars 4 or continue on with this franchise. I think they can leave it the franchise as it if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it didn't necessarily close it up, or it didn't leave anything open-ended, you know, with it, so.
Yeah, no, and I actually like the new character, Cruz Ramirez. I mean, as a trainer, she takes on a persona where she's a female, and, you know, like any of the female, or the women workers out there, is, you know, they may get told, you know, oh, well, you're just this, or, you know, each of us has that challenge as a person that we go into a job and we have this huge dream that we're going to do, something big, like, you know, I wanted to be a singer, but, you know, hey, life happens, and stuff, and, you know, or I wanted to be a travel agent, but life happens, and you get told, well, you're not qualified to do this, or you have all these different disappointments, and she has those disappointments. Like, she was told, you know, no, you're not a race car, you're a trainer, that's all you're ever going to be, and, you know, with Lightning McQueen noticing that, you know, she is an actual racer, like, she has the potential. But, you know, it takes so much of everybody else telling you, you know, as our lives go on, that, yes, you have that potential. You can do whatever, you know, you want to do. You just have to put your mind to it that you can do it. No matter if someone says no, that you're not supposed to do that. That's only what you're going to be. And I think, you know, with Disney Pixar, with the Cars movies, they bring that message apart, you know, across. Like, in Cars 2, Lightning McQueen got upset at Mater because he kept telling Mater, you know, oh, you know, this isn't Radiator Springs when they went to Japan.
Right.
And then he realized, oh, wait a minute, like, you know, this isn't Radiator Springs, but I have Mater with me. So I think what happens with Lightning is his ego always gets in the way. You know, along with, you know, I think that's what the biggest challenge is.
Yeah.
And it's more of a realization that, you know, you may say something to someone very incorrectly, but it takes Lightning a while to say, oh, I made a mistake. And he finally woke up this one. I think he woke up a little bit earlier than what he normally had in Cars, in the second Cars movie. That one took for a while, like towards the end of the movie, whereas this one, he realized that Cruz was someone who could actually help him.
Right.
A lot faster.
But, you know, in my opinion, Cars 3 was more like the original Cars.
Yeah.
Because it had the emotional storyline versus Cars 2 had this plot where there's something, you know, crazy going on. They have a mystery to solve.
Right.
So figure out what's going on here. And it was, you know, they had the spy society going on, you know, figuring out what's going on with all this craziness with the fuel and, you know, who's trying to sabotage and all that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think that one was a really good one because it focused more on Mater than it did McQueen. You know, so I think, you know, for them to use the different characters within it instead of sticking to the same character who's running into those same issues is that you have, the first one was with Lightning McQueen and the relationship between him and Doc Hudson, and then the second one having the issue, you know, with Mater taking on the role and learning who he was, and then now with Lightning McQueen going full circle and coming back with Cruz. I do think that she had some really awesome paint job though at that last race. That was awesome, and I love how Cheech Marin is in there. Like, I just love him as a character.
Yeah.
I don't think we've really seen a lot of Cheech and Chung like stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now that I think about it, like, Cheech and Chung movies were pretty much funny, stupid, slapstick parody ones, too, so. But yeah, so I did hear, I don't know if you've seen it, but I did hear that they're going to start working on Cars 4. But that'll probably go, a little later. I mean, that's what's rumored, is that they say it's a possible sequel. So we'll see how producers Kevin Rare and Andrea Warren are going to go forward with Cars 4 to see how they do. So.
So any memorable moments from this movie? Things that kind of like, oh, that was good, or, you know, anything that that you really, really liked about it?
Oh, I honestly, like, you know, as a trainer, I have to appreciate Cruz.
Yeah.
I do have to appreciate her because working with the older people that I work with, to get them to start moving and dancing, like, her first move, and she's like, and squeak, and squeak, and left, and right, and forward, and back. And I was like, you know what, that's usually how we start with cardio. So I think it was really cool, you know, to see her in there. And then, you know, she had, like, different terminology for, you know, oh, go to your happy place. Oh, you're homesick. Here, let me put on some Hispanic music for you to get back home. And, you know, so he had, like, they had all that stuff that I enjoy as working with clients, is telling them to relax and, you know, have fun with it, or you're stressed out, and it's like the one, I'm a fluffy cloud. So I keep thinking, like, when I'm stressed out, I'm like, I'm a fluffy cloud. So then it helps you, like, relax. So I think those are, like, the best ones that I'm going to remember, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are really cute. I don't know, what were your thoughts?
Oh, my kind of my favorite things was Mater saying, get her done.
Oh,
I was,
yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, there's a, you know, inside joke with, you know, of course, him being voiced by Larry the Cable Guy. So I thought that was, like, really cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, spoiler alert, that the paint job that McQueen got at the end of the movie was Doc Hudson's paint job. So
yeah, 51.
Yeah.
Get her done, 51.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff like that. So, anything? I already mentioned what my little trouble with was, you know, just the always having McQueen always having a misunderstanding with a lot of his other friends and stuff. But any kind of things that kind of had trouble with the movie?
I didn't really like having that Sterling in there, the guy that goes in and Rusty's, you know, sells their business to this guy that doesn't even know, like, how Lightning McQueen is, and tries to put him,
right,
you know, in a situation, like, already putting him up for failure. I didn't really like that part of the storyline. And when we watched the deleted scenes, I am so glad that they did not put that one deleted scene in there where they decide to just take Lightning off of the entire race itself.
Yeah.
I was happy that they did not put that in there, because it wouldn't have made it the way that it is, which had a very, you know, good message. It would have been kind of a negative.
Right.
I don't think it would have come across right.
Yeah, and one thing that was kind of cool, since we did watch the deleted scenes, was that they mentioned that as they're doing production, that the storyline can change depending on how the storyboarding and everything goes. So it can, they do a lot of, hey, we're going to take the movie this way, and also do it, and also get things ready to do it another way, and just see what kind of flows. And I've always kind of had the impression that animated movies, as well as live action movies, are sometimes quote unquote shot or produced basically out of sequence. Like, hey, you know, we're going to shoot this scene because it's easier to get it done, like, now at this time. And so they can, like, be filming, like, an end of the movie before they're actually shooting some scenes that were closer to the beginning of the movie. So it sounded like maybe that possibly animated movies may have to be produced in the actual sequential order, so that if there's issues like this where the storyline's going to change, it's easy to do instead of having to backtrack so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's why I love watching the way that they explain, like, behind the scenes and understanding, like, how they decided, you know, based on the commentary, the director's commentary of, you know, saying, okay, well, we took this out because it wasn't flowing the way that they wanted to. And I think, you know, Pixar does a really great job at that.
Yeah.
Because they do it as it goes. And I'll have to look at a couple other movies that I have from Pixar to see if they have that same commentary where the reasoning why they took it out because it didn't have that flow in there. So, but yeah, I mean, it was really good. I did just notice that you can download the production notes, actual production notes from the producer of this movie. And they go over all the different characters and what they were modeled off of and how they got all the music in and stuff. So it's a pretty good document.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's in, if you go on, I was on Wikipedia and it has a Cars 3 production notes by Walt Disney Pictures, and it's in June 2017 was when it was released for the production notes. So I think, you know, that's kind of interesting if you, you know, if you're ever curious and you want to see, like, why or, you know, the different reasons why they did the different, the storyline itself, I think that would be pretty awesome to read. It's a 48-page document, but it would be something to look to when you're bored, you know, or, oh, if you're into film. So, but no, I mean, overall, I mean, I think they had, you know, as far as Cars, like, the total, all three version, all franchise, the three of them, they do a really great job of having the different characters. They sound exactly like the NASCAR drivers.
Well, yeah.
And I've got some to applaud that.
Some of them are voiced by actual NASCAR drivers.
They're actual ones, but, you know, it's like the like, the way the character, like, the car itself, the way it is designed, the graphics in it is pretty cool because they even had the older cars in there, like the old race cars, like, you know, from the 1930s and the 1940s in there.
Yeah.
So I think that is, you know, pretty cool when it comes across the different artwork and stuff that goes with it. So, and then the one thing we learned, well, I didn't realize that all the NASCAR drivers actually have simulators, just like Cars 3. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They don't just go out on the track and keep going around in a circle. They actually have a simulator similar to Cars 3. So I think that would be awesome to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. All right. So out of a rating of 10, what would you give Cars 3?
Oh, for me, I'm totally going with a 10. I mean, the reason why is because the storyline, I love all the characters in it, the production, you know, everything is just so real, especially now with the 3D animation. I think it was, you know, up there, I think it was way better, you know, over the years, the animation has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one hit it out of the park with me, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm a huge fan of the Pixar ones, so.
Yeah. Well, I would probably actually want to rate it probably a 7. It's, you know, just because it was very similar to, like I said, Cars, which, to me, Cars, I would give a 10, the original Cars, because, you know, well, number one, because it's got great soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, I love the soundtrack. I'll give you that.
So, and it just because it just sets up so well, and a lot of the way they introduced the characters in the original Cars, I thought was great. So, yeah. So I just kind of like that. So, you know, so maybe in let's see. So we got 5-year difference, a 6-year difference. So. 2024, we may get Cars 4.
I know.
If they kind of go with the same kind of production schedule, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see, like, how it does. But, yeah, I think the biggest challenge, though, with this movie was that it came out at the same time as Despicable Me 3.
Yeah.
And then it also had Transformers, the Batman versus Superman, and Wonder Woman. That all came out within the same time frame of the summer. So I think, you know, there's so many good ones that came out this summer.
Well, and if I'm understanding correctly, I believe the Cars franchise collectively, when it comes to merchandise, is the number one, if not like number two or whatever, but when it comes to Pixar, the actual Pixar franchises, it's the one that makes the most money when it comes to merchandising.
Oh, really? But
yeah, because we got the diecast cars and you got everything else that comes to any of that kind of stuff. So they're not Hot Wheels priced, you know, at 99 cents. The Cars ones are priced, I think, like $4 or $5, somewhere around there probably.
Yeah, and then you got the plush, and then you got like all those other
whatever kind of
sheets and stuff. Like my nephew has his Cars sheets on his bed.
Yeah.
It's amazing, like, what they come out with.
What do they can slap a label on?
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know. But then, you know, the other part was, I was amazed, like, what they did this year was, they started actually a cross-country tour with the Cars themselves.
Yeah.
So they had the Cars, and they started in Florida, I believe, and then they went to, you know, cross-country down Route 66. And
yeah, when the movie was getting ready to be released in the theater. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, so my nephew got to go and see the actual Cars. They actually had a physical Cars of Lightning McQueen and Cruise and Storm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they put a lot of thought behind it. So.
The marketing machine that is Disney Pixar.
I tell you, you know.
Right. Well, anything else you want to say about Cars 3, Cars franchise? Anything else in general?
You know, I loved that little movie short that they came out with Lou.
Lou was good. Yeah.
Lou was really good.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, the kids have the lost and found, and he just, like, is trying to teach the bully, you know, how to be kind, and he had to return all of this stuff. I think, you know, a critter that's made out of the lost and found items. pretty awesome. I will say that, you know, Lou was the best.
Yeah.
For those, and I love
for this batch. Yeah.
For this batch, I think it was good. And then the second movie that they have on there, which is Miss Fritter's Driving School. For Demolition Derby, I didn't think they were gonna put Demolition Derby in there. It was pretty good.
Yeah, but nothing will beat Mater's Tall Tales.
No.
That whole series was that right there gets a 10 for me, that whole collection.
Yeah, with his like the ghost light. Yeah. I love the ghost light. So that one is like the I like when he has the ghost light and he starts running around, and then the one with this last one where he was dancing and he finally learned how to do his FaceTime, like he had FaceTime. And he was like, "Can you see me?" And he's like looking into the camera, and all you see is this giant green eye from Mater as he's trying to FaceTime with Lightning. So, I thought that was kind of a good thing for Mater to learn how to use technology.
Yeah, and what was the catchphrase he always said? Was it?
If I'm lying, I'm crying,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Mater is like the funniest one. He's just hilarious. Like I have the Mater's Tall Tales, and I could watch that over and over.
Yeah, they should do like a whole 2 hour.
Like, come on, Larry, the kids die.
Or a whole hour. I think more realistic, they could probably do a whole hour.
Yeah.
But instead of whatever it is. Currently, it's a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean it's so. Like he has his whole video on it is, let me see. Yeah, it's about 36 minutes at the actual
collection.
Mater's Tall Tales. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, but that's funny. He's such a, he's so lovable, and, you know, some days he's just like, I have to shake my head, like, some of the jokes that he, like, the story, like, you know, where he's telling Lightning Queen, don't you remember, you were like,
you were there.
You were there, and then, like, you know, Lightning Queen turns into, like, this Dracula car, and they're, you know,
yeah,
like,
monster truck.
A monster truck, and yeah, it was, like, the best thing. So, yeah, or the one where he's a spy, and it's all, like, black and white. That one's a good one on that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, my buddy Mater, I was like, I did like him in the first scene with this movie, though, with Cars 3, because he's inside the trailer with Lightning, as he's
yeah.
like, I am speed. Did I really say that? He's like, yep, you always have. So, yeah. I was like, I did love to see if he was going to... He's funny. He's always there when you least expect him to be there. So
yeah,
good. But yeah. All right.
Well, fantastic. So, if you guys want to get a hold of us and let us know your guys' thoughts on Cars 3, you can email us. I believe the email is ttnatthemovies@gmail.com. If you want to email me directly, you can at mrfourthrow@gmail.com. Same thing goes for Twitter. Let's spell out the Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R. Put a 4-T-H in the middle. End it with R-O-W. Daisy, I don't think you really have any way that people can contact you. I guess they can contact you through
yeah.
me.
Yeah, just email Mr. Fourthrow. Yeah, I have way too many email addresses right now. I can't even keep up with half of the stuff from my job. So, but yeah, it's I'll have to create one, I guess. But yeah. So,
yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you all for listening to this TTN at the Movies episode. We are part of the brand new Trending Topics Network. And you can find a lot of other great shows on the network, and those are including, but not limited to, What's on Fight, my other podcast I host with Finn Fish. We have Blue Chat. Oh, and my other podcast, The View from the Fourth Row, where I basically, so far, have just interviewed some local wrestling talent. Gonna probably expand it to just basic events, things that, reviews that I may be going to in the future. We also have Odds On, the European Uppercut Podcast, the Spanish Announce Table, Wrestling Cheers, Hanging with Heavy, CFL Easy Picks, Legends on Siren Radio, the Eurovision Showcase, Tuts Experience, All Beer Inside, STFU, Tim and Tom, and Chill, Squabblecast, and so much more can be found on the brand new Trending Topics Network. Subscribe, review, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or whatever podcast catching client of your choosing. And that's all I have here for TTN at the Movies. Daisy, say goodbye to the good folks, listeners. All
right. See you later, peoples.
All right, take care.
Coming soon to theaters, whether you like it or not. You liked Cars. You maybe tolerated Cars too. But this summer, buckle up, start the ignition, and shift into high gear, because this franchise is about to jump more sharks than Marlin and Dory. After years of successful races and dozens of piston cups, Lightning McQueen is ready to slow down and retire from his race car days. But then, one stormy night, he sees something that no car was ever meant to see.
Wow, what is this? Is that me? Mater, I saw something. There were shelves filled with toys and merchandise, and they were all modeled after us.
Well, dadgum, what do you think we should do, Lightning?
There's only one thing we can do, Mater. Travel to the manufacturer. Right now.
Get ready for another riveting tale as Lightning McQueen and Mater travel to the end of the world to meet their maker.
My whole life has been a lie. Explain yourself.
From the moment you were manufactured, I knew you were the most marketable thing I've ever created. Children can't get enough of you.
But at the cost of quality? I demand you give me my life back!
But as all great adventures go, sacrifices must be made.
Tell you what, I'll allow you to start over. If we scrap the tow truck in return.
Mater? My lifelong friend? He always was a pain in the tailpipe. Scrap away!
Ah! I love you, Lightning! Don't forget me!
We may have just given away the ending, but it's okay. We know how much you love cars, so we've canceled the 2019 release of The Incredibles 2 to bring you Cars 4, Mater's Revenge. This time, he'll be towing cars to their grave.